Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, RESPA. Regulation X. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's CFPB, Regulation X, which implements the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, IRSPA, ensures that consumers throughout the nation are provided with more helpful information about the cost of the mortgage settlement and protected from unnecessarily high settlement charges caused by certain abusive practices. The Act requires mortgage loan originators and servicers of residential loans to provide borrowers with timely disclosures of the nature and costs of the real estate settlement process. Designed to help consumers become more knowledgeable of settlement services costs, RESPA also prohibits abusive practices such as undisclosed referral fees and kickbacks. It also mandates disclosures for mortgage escrow accounts at closing and annually. RESPA requires mortgage loan originators to provide detailed disclosures regarding the transfer, sale, or assignment of mortgage servicing rights. Coverage of RESPA. RESPA is applicable to all federally related mortgage loans. As defined in Regulation X, federally related mortgage loans are loans, other than temporary loans, including refinance transactions secured by a first or subordinate lien on residential real property that is improved with either a 1-to-4 family structure, including individual units of condominiums and cooperatives, either existing or to be constructed on the real property using loan proceeds, a manufactured home, either existing or to be placed on the real property using loan proceeds, and to which any one of the following applies: loans made by a lender, creditor, or dealer, loans made or insured by an agency of the federal government, loans made in connection with a housing or urban development, HUD program, administered by an agency of the federal government, loans made and intended to be sold by the originating lender or creditor to Federal National Mortgage Association, FNMA, Government National Mortgage Association, GNMA, or Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, FHLMC, or its successor, loans that are the subject of a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage issued by a lender or creditor subject to the regulation. Exemptions. Transactions exempt from RESPA include loans secured by parcels of 25 acres or more, whether or not the property is improved, for which the primary purpose is business, commercial, or agricultural. However, a business purpose loan made to one or more persons acting in an individual capacity, natural persons, to acquire, refinance, improve, or maintain a 1-to-4 family residential property used or to be used to rent or lease to other persons is a covered transaction. Temporary loans, such as construction loans, the exemption does not apply and the transaction becomes covered by RESPA if the loan is used as, or may be converted to, permanent financing by the same bank. A lender's commitment to permanent financing is covered by the regulation. Any construction loan with a term of 2 years or more is covered by the regulation unless it is made to a bona fide contractor. Bridge or swing loans are not covered by the regulation. Secured by vacant or unimproved property, when none of the loan proceeds, will be used to construct a 1-to-4 family residential structure. If the proceeds will be used to locate a manufactured home or construct a structure within 2 years from the date of settlement, the loan is covered. Assumptions of existing mortgages, in which the lender has no right to approve subsequent persons as borrowers. Conversions of federally related mortgage loans to different terms, consistent with the original mortgage instrument, as long as a new note is not required. Examples include transactions involving the renewal of single payment loans with no change in terms, loans on which the APR is lowered with a corresponding reduction in payment, loans involving a court-ordered agreement, workout arrangements of a problem loan, loans on which optional insurance is added, secondary market transactions. A bona fide transfer of a loan obligation in the secondary market is not covered by RESPA. RESPA Section 8. Prohibition against kickbacks and unearned fees. RESPA prohibits any person who, pursuant to any agreement or understanding, gives or receives a fee or a thing of value, including payments, commissions, fees, gifts, or special privileges, for the referral of settlement business. Payments in excess of the reasonable value of goods provided or services rendered are considered kickbacks. No referral fees as defined. No person can give, and no person can accept any fee, kickback, or another thing of value pursuant to any agreement or understanding that business incident to or part of a settlement service involving a federally related mortgage loan shall be referred to any person. With few exceptions, referrals of a settlement service is not a compensable service. A business entity, whether or not in an affiliate relationship, may not pay any other business entity or the employees of any other business entity for the referral of settlement service business. No split of charges except for actual services performed. No person can give, and no person can accept any portion of a charge made or received for the rendering of a settlement service in connection with a transaction involving a federally related mortgage loan other than for services actually performed. A charge by a person for which no or nominal services are performed or for which duplicative fees are charged is an unearned fee and violates this section. Thing of value as defined. This term is broadly defined in RESPA. It includes money, things, discounts, salaries, commissions, fees, stock, dividends, distributions of partnership profits, franchise royalties, credits representing monies that may be paid at a future date, the opportunity to participate in a money-making program, retained or increased earnings, increased equity in a parent or subsidiary entity, special bank deposits or accounts, special or unusual banking terms, services of all types at special or free rates, sales or rentals at special prices or rates, lease or rental payments based in whole or in part on the amount of business referred, trips and payment of another person's expenses, or reduction in credit against an existing obligation. The term payment is used throughout RESPA as synonymous with the giving or receiving any thing of value and does not require the transfer of money. Agreement or understanding as defined. An agreement or understanding for the referral of business incident to or part of a settlement service need not be written or verbalized, but may be established by a practice, pattern, or course of conduct. When a thing of value is received repeatedly and is connected in any way with the volume or value of the business referred, the receipt of the thing of value is evidence that it is made pursuant to an agreement or understanding for the referral of business. Section 8 of RESPA permits per regulation X, fees, salaries, compensation, or other payments. A payment to an attorney at law for services actually rendered. A payment by a title company to its duly appointed agent for services actually performed in the issuance of a policy of title insurance. A payment by a lender to its duly appointed agent or contractor for services actually performed in the origination, processing, or funding of a loan. A payment to any person of a bona fide salary or compensation or other payment for goods or facilities actually furnished or for services actually performed. A payment pursuant to cooperative brokerage and referral arrangements or agreements between real estate agents and real estate brokers. The statutory exemption restated in this paragraph refers only to fee divisions within real estate brokerage arrangements when all parties are acting in a real estate brokerage capacity and has no applicability to any fee arrangements between real estate brokers and mortgage brokers or between mortgage brokers. Normal promotional and educational activities that are not conditioned on the referral of business and that do not involve the defraying of expenses that otherwise would be incurred by persons in a position to refer settlement services or business incident thereto, or an employer's payment to its own employees for any referral activities. The Bureau may investigate high prices to see if they are the result of a referral fee or a split of a fee. if the payment of a thing of value bears no reasonable relationship to the market value of the goods or services provided, then the excess is not for services or goods actually performed or provided. These facts may be used as evidence of a violation of Section 8 and may serve as a basis for a RESPA investigation. High prices standing alone are not proof of a RESPA violation. The value of a referral, that is, the value of any additional business obtained thereby, is not to be taken into account in determining whether the payment exceeds the reasonable value of such goods, facilities, or services. The fact that the transfer of the thing of value does not result in an increase in any charge made by the person giving the thing of value is irrelevant in determining whether the act is prohibited. Affiliated Business Arrangement Disclosure. After RESPA's passage, the HUD received many questions asking if referrals between affiliated settlement service providers violated RESPA. Congress held hearings in 1981. In 1983, Congress amended RESPA to permit affiliated business arrangements, ABAs, under certain conditions, while retaining the general prohibitions against the giving and taking of referral fees. Congress defined the term affiliated business arrangement to mean an arrangement in which a loan originator has either an affiliate relationship or a direct or beneficial ownership interest of more than 1% in a provider of settlement services, and the loan originator directly or indirectly refers business to the provider, it is an affiliated business arrangement. An affiliated business arrangement is not a violation of Section 8 of RESPA and of 12 CFR, Section 1024.15 of Regulation X, if the following conditions are satisfied. 1. Disclosure/notice is given to the consumer at or before the time each referral is made. The disclosures must be provided on a separate piece of paper no later than the time of each referral, or, if the lender requires use of a particular provider, the time of loan application, 12 CFR, Section 1024.15b, 1. 2. The estimated charge or range of charges generally made by such provider, 12 CFR, Section 1024.15b, 1. 3. The consumer is not required to use any particular provider of settlement services, that is, the consumer is not steered or required to use an affiliated entity providing mortgage or other settlement services. 12 CFR, Section 1024.15b, 2. 4. The only thing of value that is received from the arrangement, other than reasonable payments for goods, facilities, or services actually furnished, is a return on the ownership interest, such as corporate dividends or LLC distributions, as applicable, in accordance with the owner's percentage ownership interests. A return on an ownership interest does not include returns that vary by the amount of business referred to a settlement service provider or situations where adjustments are made to an ownership share based on referrals made. 12 CFR, Section 1024.15, B, 3, B, Tartite. An affiliated business arrangement disclosure statement form must be used to comply with these four requirements. If the referral is made verbally, then the written disclosure must be given to the consumer within 3 business days after the referral, and in such case, an abbreviated verbal disclosure of the existence of the arrangement and the fact that a written disclosure will be provided within 3 business days must be made to the consumer during the telephone referral. The disclosure form in any situation must be a separate document and not combined with other forms. The consumer should be asked to sign a receipt or acknowledgement of the disclosure. And if the consumer refuses to sign the acknowledgement of such disclosure, that fact should be noted in the records maintained by the referrer regarding such referrals. The RESPA regulations require that the referrer retain each signed disclosure document for 5 years after its execution. 12 CFR, Section 1024.15, D. Sham affiliated business arrangements. Compliance with the 4 conditions discussed above does not necessarily end the analysis regarding affiliated business arrangements. Affiliated business arrangements also need to comply with guidelines set forth in HUDIS 1996 policy statement, which was intended to identify sham joint ventures and affiliated businesses in the marketplace. HUD listed the following factors that it will consider and balance in determining whether a joint venture created by two existing settlement service providers is a bona fide provider of settlement services or a sham entity designed to facilitate payment of illegal fees, and thus not entitled to the benefit of the affiliated business arrangement exemption. Does the new entity have sufficient initial capital and net worth, typical in the industry, to conduct the settlement service business for which it was created? Or is it undercapitalized to do the work it purports to provide? Is the new entity staffed with its own employees to perform the services it provides? Or does the new entity have loaned employees of one of the parent providers? Does the new entity manage its own business affairs? Or is an entity that helped create the new entity running the new entity for the parent provider making the referrals? Does the new entity have an office for business which is separate from one of the parent providers? If the new entity is located at the same business address as one of the parent providers, does the new entity pay a general market value rent for the facilities actually furnished? Is the new entity providing substantial services, that is, the essential functions of the real estate settlement service for which the entity receives a fee? Does it incur the risks and receive the rewards of any comparable enterprise operating in the marketplace? Does the new entity perform all of the substantial services itself? Or does it contract out part of the work? If so, how much of the work is contracted out? If the new entity contracts out some of its essential functions, does it contract services from an independent third party? Or are the services contracted from a parent, affiliated provider, or an entity that helped create the controlled entity? If the new entity contracts out work to a parent, affiliated provider, or an entity that helped create it, does the new entity provide any functions that are of value to the settlement process? If the new entity contracts out work to another party, is the party performing any contracted services receiving payment for services or facilities provided that bears a reasonable relationship to the value of the services or goods received? Or is the contractor providing services or goods at a charge such that the new entity is receiving a thing of value for referring settlement service business to the party performing the service? Is the new entity actively competing in the marketplace for business? Does the new entity receive or attempt to obtain business from settlement service providers other than one of the settlement service providers that created the new entity? Is the new entity sending business exclusively to one of the settlement service providers that created it, such as the title application for a title policy to a title insurance underwriter or a loan package to a lender? Or does the new entity send business to a number of entities, which may include one of the providers that created it? Still another area that may arise concerns the third condition of the ABA exception, whether the only thing of value that comes from the arrangement, other than permissible payments for services rendered, is a return on ownership interest or franchise relationship. 12 CFR Section 1024.15(b)(3) of the regulations provides that a return on ownership interest does not include payments that vary by the amount of actual, estimated, or anticipated referrals, or payments based on ownership shares that have been adjusted on the basis of previous referrals. When assessing whether a payment is a return on ownership interest or a payment for referrals of settlement service business, HUD will consider the following questions. Has each owner or participant in the new entity made an investment of its own capital as compared to a loan from an entity that receives the benefits of referrals? Have the owners or participants of the new entity received an ownership or participant's interest based on a fair value contribution? Or is it based on the expected referrals to be provided by the referring owner or participant to a particular cell or division within the entity? Are the dividends, partnership distributions, or other payments made in proportion to the ownership interest, proportional to the investment in the entity as a whole? Or does the payment vary to reflect the amount of business referred to the new entity or a unit of the new entity? Are the ownership interests in the new entity free from tie-ins to referrals of business? Or have there been any adjustments to the ownership interests in the new entity based on the amount of business referred? Responses to these questions may be determinative of whether an entity meets the conditions of the ABA exception. If an entity does not meet the conditions of the ABA exception, then any payments given or accepted in the arrangement may be subject to further analysis under Section 8, EA, and B, 12 U.S.C. Section 2607, SASHSA A, and B. Some examples of how the HUD will use these factors in an analysis of specific circumstances are provided below. Example 1. An existing real estate broker and an existing title insurance company form a joint venture title agency. Each participant in the joint venture contributes $1,000 towards the creation of the joint venture title agency, which will be an exclusive agent for the title insurance company. The title insurance company enters a service agreement with the joint venture to provide title search, examination, and title commitment preparation work at a charge lower than its cost. The title insurance company provides the management for the joint venture. The joint venture is located in the title insurance company's office space. One employee of the title insurance company is leased to the joint venture to handle closings and prepare policies. That employee continues to do the same work she did for the title insurance company. The real estate broker participant is the joint venture's sole source of business referrals. Profits of the joint venture are divided equally between the real estate broker and title insurance company. HUD analysis. After reviewing all of the factors, HUD would consider this an example of an entity that is not a bona fide provider of settlement service business. As such, the payments flowing through the arrangement are not exempt and would be subject to further analysis under Section 8. In looking at the amount of capitalization used to create the settlement service business, it appears that the entity is undercapitalized to perform the work of a full-service title agency. In this example, although there is an equal contribution of capital, the title insurance company is providing much of the title insurance work, office space, and management oversight for the venture to operate. Although the venture has an employee, the employee is leased from and continues to be supervised by the title insurance company. This new entity receives all the referrals of business from the real estate broker participant and does not compete for business in the marketplace. The venture provides a few of the essential functions of a title agent, but it contracts many of the core title agent functions to the title insurance company. In addition, the title insurance company provides the search, examination, and title commitment work at less than its cost, so it may be seen as providing a thing of value to the referring title agent, which is passed on to the real estate broker participant in a return on ownership. Example 2. A lender and a real estate broker form a joint venture mortgage broker. The real estate broker participant in the joint venture does not require its prospective homebuyers to use the new entity, and it provides the required ABA disclosures at the time of the referral. The real estate broker participant is the sole source of the joint venture's business. The lender and real estate broker each contribute an equal amount of capital towards the joint venture, which represents a sufficient initial capital investment and which is typical in the industry. The new entity, using its own employees, prepares loan applications and performs all other functions of a mortgage broker. On a few occasions, to accommodate surges in business, the new entity contracts out some of the loan processing work to third-party providers, including the lender participant in the joint venture. In these cases, the new entity pays all third-party providers a similar fee, which is reasonably related to the processing work performed. The new entity manages its own business affairs. It rents space in the real estate participant's office at the general market rate. The new entity submits loan applications to numerous lenders, and only a small percentage goes to the lender participant in the joint venture. HUD analysis. After reviewing all of the factors, HUD would consider this an example of an entity that is a bona fide provider of settlement service business rather than a sham arrangement. the new entity would appear to have sufficient capital to perform the services of a mortgage broker. The participants' interests appear to be based on a fair value contribution and free from tie-ins to referrals of business. The new entity has its own staff and manages its own business. While it shares a business address with the real estate broker participant, it pays fair market rent for that space. It provides substantial mortgage brokerage services. Even though the joint venture may contract out some processing overflow to its lender participant, this work does not represent a substantial portion of the mortgage brokerage services provided by the joint venture. Moreover, the joint venture pays all third-party providers a similar fee for similar processing services. While the real estate broker participant is the sole source of referrals to the venture only sends a small percent of its loan business to the lender participant. The joint venture mortgage broker is thus actively referring loan business to lenders other than its lender participant. Since the real estate broker provides the ABA disclosure and does not require the use of the mortgage broker, and the only return to the participants is based on the profits of the venture and not reflective of referrals made to the venture, it meets the ABA exemption requirements. HUD would consider this a bona fide controlled business arrangement. Penalties for Section 8, Violations. Any person or persons who violate the provisions of RESPA Section 8 shall be fined not more than $10,000 or imprisoned for not more than 1 year or both. Any person or persons who violate the prohibitions or limitations of RESPA Section 8 shall be jointly and severally liable to the person or persons charged for the settlement service involved in the violation in an amount equal to 3 times the amount of any charge paid for such settlement service. In any private action brought pursuant to RESPA Section 8, the court may award to the prevailing party the court costs of the action together with reasonable attorney fees. RESPA Section 9. Title companies. RESPA and Regulation X prohibit, either directly or indirectly, a seller from requiring a purchaser to buy title insurance from a specific title company in any transaction as a condition of the sale. Section 9 of RESPA. No seller of property that will be purchased with the assistance of a federally related mortgage loan shall require directly or indirectly, as a condition to selling the property, that title insurance covering the property be purchased by the buyer from any particular title company. Any seller who violates the provisions of this section shall be liable to the buyer in an amount equal to 3 times all charges made for such title insurance. RESPA Section 10. Limits on escrow accounts. Section 10 of RESPA and Regulation X set limits on the amounts that a lender may require a borrower to put into an escrow account for purposes of paying taxes, hazard insurance, and other charges related to the property. RESPA does not require lenders to impose an escrow account on borrowers. However, certain government loan programs or lenders may require escrow accounts as a condition of the loan. During the course of the loan, RESPA prohibits a lender from charging excessive amounts for the escrow account. Each month, the lender may require a borrower to pay into the escrow account no more than 1/12 of the total of all disbursements payable during the year, plus an amount necessary to pay for any shortage in the account. In addition, the lender may require a cushion, not to exceed an amount equal to 1/6 of the total disbursements for the year. The lender must perform an escrow account analysis once during the year and notify borrowers of any shortage. Any excess of $50 or more must be returned to the borrower. Penalties. In the case of each failure to submit a statement to a borrower as required under the rules, the Bureau shall assess to the lender or escrow servicer failing to submit the statement a civil penalty of $50 for each such failure. However, the total amount imposed on such a lender or escrow servicer for all such failures during any 12-month period may not exceed $100,000. Intentional violations. If any failure is due to intentional disregard of the requirement to submit the statement, then, with respect to such failure, the penalty imposed shall be $100. And, in the case of any penalty determined, the $100,000 limitation shall not apply. Filing a RESPA complaint. The Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, ERESPA, is administered and enforced by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB. Persons who believe a settlement service provider has violated RESPA in an area in which the CFPB has enforcement authority may wish to file a complaint. A consumer with a question or complaint related to a mortgage or a mortgage servicer should contact the CFPB's Consumer Response Team at 855-4112-372, 855-7292-372 TTY/TDD, or www.consumerfinance.gov. Form TXR-2516, Authorization to Furnish TILA-RESPA, Integrated Disclosures, should be completed by the buyer or seller and indicates to lenders, title companies, and slash or escrow agents that the buyer or seller has signed an exclusive agreement with a particular broker and authorizes these entities to disclose and furnish any documents or information pertinent to the transaction to the broker or broker's agent.